Psalms 139. You know, God is the great creator, but he created through Jesus Christ our Lord. And think about the mind of God in creating everything that's created. And in Psalm 139, I want you to go today. Let's talk about together how God is making a person. Think about the wisdom of God and the power of God in making a person. Psalms 139, look down at verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, David said. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works that thy soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy books all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. He's describing the development of a new life, even describing his own life. Verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. Loving God, what an awesome God our God is. A God with such wisdom and such power. A God that would plan and bring into existence a creation like this universe with all the life that's in it, and each to be made after its own kind. What an awesome God. And a God that not only made everything, made it for your own self, for your own glory, but you made us so we could know you, love you, and serve you, and one day even live in your eternal presence. What an awesome thought. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that tells us about you. Thank you for the Word of God that tells us what you had to do for us to really get to know you and one day live with you. That it would even take the sufferings of the Son of God, who himself would come through the womb of its mother and develop in the womb just like any other human, and one day grow into manhood to be the sacrifice for the sin of all the world. What an awesome God our God is. We praise you today from this place appointed for worship. I pray you'd bless everyone that's here today. May your loving arms embrace each one and draw us to your bosom, a bosom filled with love for each one, concern for each one, love for each one. And may we all just relax and succumb to your loving embrace. And may we submit ourselves to love you as we depart from this place and live a life to honor you, I pray, In Jesus' name, help me today, for I'm helpless without thy grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Human life begins when the sperm cell successfully enters and fuses with an egg cell. That is a new life right then. A new person right then, as we talk about a person. And only God can do that. Did you know that? Only God can make life, bring into existence life. It's human from the very beginning and will develop into a few full-grown human who God will give gifts to and talents so that that individual might serve Him. And you just reflect upon a person and the various gifts they have, abilities they have. Whatever yours is, it was God-given. It was God-given. It's not something that you came up with yourself. Now, we can help develop and cultivate the gifts God's given to us, but He's got to initially give them for them to be cultivated. Anyone who destroys this life is guilty before God of murder of an innocent one. The medical profession today and the political arena like to talk about an aborted life. No, it's a murdered life. Exodus 23:7 states, "And the innocent and the righteous slay thou not. For I will not justify the wicked," God said. Deuteronomy 19:10 states, "That innocent blood be not shed in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance, and so blood be upon thee." No innocent blood is to be shed, God said, in the land. The wisdom writer in Proverbs 6:17 states, "A proud look and a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, God condemns." David is praising God for how God developed him in his mother's womb. Isn't that amazing? Even back then in David's time, 1,000 years before Christ, God revealed to David how new life was being formed. David said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And you think about each person. What a wise God has did to make each person. And the gifts that that person has and the abilities that person has. Only God can give life. Think about only God can make a human. Think of the wisdom of God in designing a person. Knows two people are alike. No two angels are alike. I'm told that no two snowflakes are alike. Isn't that something? A God that with this much mind? And we don't want to serve Him? That is, a lot of folks don't. Think about this. You're sitting up here, sitting out there looking up at me with eyes. Now think about that. That's just flesh and tissue. And y'all can see me. And I see you. Isn't that something, folks? And while I'm seeing you, you're listening to me talk with two ears. And you got a mouth to speak with, and a mouth to eat with, and a brain to think with, a nose to smell with, and breathe with, and the ability to reproduce, all in one person. How come? You evolved. Amen. Did you evolve? No, you didn't evolve. God made you like that. God made you like you are. In the beginning of the human family with Adam and Eve, God said in Genesis 1:28, God blessed them and God said unto them, listen to this, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God says, I want you to fill this earth with people. In Genesis 9:1, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said unto them, the second time, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God wants people in this world. In Genesis 9:7, and you, be ye fruitful and multiply and bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. God wants this world full of people. And what does the world, some of the leaders want? They're afraid of overpopulation. Would God say, fill the earth if there's going to be overpopulation? That's how much people know, folks, about this climate change. If they'd read over there in the book of Genesis, I believe it's chapter 8, it tells us God's going to always have spring and summer, fall and winter, cold and summer, and all that. All that's going to go on. Hey, folks, man's not controlling the weather nor the climate. God's in charge. Amen? It is the will of God for the earth to be filled with people. When you hear governments and people say there is overpopulation, they don't know what they're talking about. God said to fill the earth with people, and God is able to take care of every person, everywhere. The reason people are starving today, and the reason there's problems with people today in the world is because evil and wicked men are causing people to starve. Did you know our government is sending millions and billions of dollars to different nations, and the governments is getting the money and the people is not? There's going to be an accounting day one of these days for these politicians and leaders that's thinking nobody but their self. But God has said, fill this world with people. I want it filled with people. Every life is a life made in the image of God. Every life. Life is important to God. You know, God's a big God, folks. God is actually bigger than creation. Man don't even know how big creation is. Yet God is bigger than that. And he fills creation. And life is important to God. He's a big God. He's got a big plan. He wants a lot of people to reveal himself to, that he might enjoy throughout eternity. Oh, I try to think in my little old feeble brain, and maybe y'all do too sometime. When we get to heaven, how can all of us be around Jesus at the same time? That ain't my problem. That'll be his. Amen. Amen? You ever seen a bunch of kittens or puppies? All of them trying to get to the mother at the same time, a crowd, that's where we'll be with Jesus, won't we? Everybody trying to get to the Lord. Hey, the Lord will be available. We ain't got to worry about that, folks. Sometimes we want to think about it. But he's a big God. He knows how to be with people. Isn't it amazing today? If you're a believer, he's with you right now. If you were in Japan, he'd be with you there. Amen? Because he's with some over there now. Oh, we serve an awesome God, folks. And a God that cares for all of us and has a plan for all of us, a good plan for all of us. And once we escaped out of this cursed world, oh, what a time we're going to have, folks. What a time we're going to have. Yet we have these people who think they have the right to kill the unborn. And amazingly, more of them is women than the men. The reason the men are for it is because that rebellious woman wants it. I don't want it. Get rid of it. Hey, wait a minute. This is someone that God has made. Well, I don't want. Well, you shouldn't have been engaged in what you're engaged with. God has a purpose for every single life. What God has planned for your life is not what he planned for mine. Every life is different. And yet there's generally the same purpose. No life is an accident with God. Sometimes people say, well, we didn't plan on that one. That was an accident. No, with God it wasn't. God wanted it. But God wanted it to come into the world the right way, though. This old book tells you about the wrong ways for people to get together, folks. We have all these women and men who think they have the right to destroy every life that they don't want, so life won't be a burden to them by that unwanted one. God has not given man the right to be God. God is God. The only one God approved of putting to death, as far as I can find in the Bible, is those that take somebody else's life. Starting in Genesis chapter 9, God said, if you shed a man's blood, your blood's to be shed. That is, you intended to murder somebody. And you know what? By the law of God, killing babies, they should forfeit their own life. The Bible says in Genesis 9:6, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. God hadn't changed that. Nowhere in the Bible has God ever changed that. For in the image of God made he man. Man's made in the image of God. And to take a man's life, you've took the life of someone made in God's image. God's against that. So in reality, all baby killers should forfeit their own life. Listen to David again. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. David said, God was watching me being developed in my mother's womb. Today, ladies can go to hospitals and places and they can take scans and see a baby being developed, but not like God can. God can even see it more clearly. David said, God watched as I was formed in my mother's womb. Every spring, I plant my garden. And about the second day after I planted it, I start looking for it to start coming up. Amen. Because I know seed sprouts. Amen. As the shoots emerge, I watch them, and soon I'm thinking, they're going to be ready for me to get something. Amen. That's the way it is with a newborn. It starts off. It continues to grow. But from the very beginning, it was a human, made in the image of God. And God had a plan for it. The seed I planted in the garden is making some kind of crop that I planted. If it's corn, it's corn. If it's beans, it's beans. If it's okra, it's okra. A woman never has anything but another human. She don't have a rabbit, amen? They have another human. God made a law. You reproduce after your kind. That's a good law, isn't it? Boy, we'd have a mess in this world if that law didn't work. In Genesis chapter 1, look down at verse 24. And God said, let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind. Notice that. Repeated time after time. Cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, and everything that creeps on the earth after his kind. And God saw that that was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Created he them. God made a man. From the man he made a woman. After that, they could reproduce. And God said, man was filled this world with people. And today there's about 7.3 or 4 billion people on the planet. That's a lot of people, folks. But the earth still ain't full. Still ain't full. This is the law of God, that everything breeds according to its kind. All flesh is not the same flesh, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:39. There's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Different flesh is different. A woman will only have another human. So when she becomes pregnant, she is only going to have another human baby. It never fails. So to take a human life that God intended is a very serious thing. I heard someone say the other day that the cells that make up a person, one person said there's over 100 trillion cells in a human body. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's what they stated. 100 trillion cells. And one said that in one cell, there's enough information to take books like this and stack them one on top of another till they reach the moon five times, five stacks, stacked on top of one another to the moon, that much information in one cell. And that evolved? No. No. Everybody's DNA is different. Everybody's fingerprints different, except for one. There's one in the county who don't have fingerprints. Yeah, it's my wife. Honestly, they can't take her fingerprints. They've tried it. She don't have any. That ain't all. Amen. I don't know what's the deal, but they couldn't get her to take no fingerprints. So God wants people to know Him, folks. God wants people to love and serve Him. That's why He made all of us. God's jealous. He wants you to love Him. And He surely loves you. He surely loves you. And when a society begins to interfere with God's plans as we are today, it's going to bring some severe consequences. David said, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written." Had my hands, my fingers, my feet, my eyes, my ears, all my members were written down in God's book. Think about that. He said, "In thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned." God said, David said, God's watching them develop in my mother's womb. "In thy book all my members are written, and in which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Used to, I didn't exist. But then God formed me in my mother's womb. But you know what? You step back a minute. Before God made your mother, before God made the world, God knew you. God knew you before He made anything. He knew all about you. He knew what His plans were for you. He's an awesome God, isn't He, folks? He's an awesome God. God knew every one of us before we were ever born. As parents, we wait anxiously for a baby to be born. Today, people have scans made to see their baby, to see what sex it's going to be. But all the while, God sees and knows, even before the sperm and egg meet, to start a new life, God already knows everything. That makes you important. That makes you somebody. That makes you special because there's nobody else like you. What's so amazing about us humans is we're all alike, yet every one of us is different. We're all alike. We all need food and water. We need one another. Yet, your DNA is not like my DNA. Or, as I said a while ago, our fingerprints. Folks, we got an intelligent creator. Do y'all understand that? He is great. I set my recliner and look out the window at all these red birds. blue jays, robins, sparrows. Now, they all look alike to me. But I expect they're different somehow about them. You talk about an amazing God. We have an amazing God who loves us all. Makes no difference who you are, where you were born at, who were your parents. Were you born out of wedlock or not? God still loves you. Think about life in this manner. God has a special plan just for you. And a purpose for every life. As far as I can tell, there's no one more important than you. Because you were made in His likeness and in His image. And to harm someone like that is serious. To harm someone made in the image of God is serious. And as our Sunday school lesson was discussing this morning about how drugs and alcohol and things of that nature, people that's used to these things to prey upon other people for their own self-interests. It's going to be a bad day one day. It's going to be a sad day one day. It troubles me because the Lord's already told us ahead of time most people's not going to make it to heaven, folks. Most people don't care about their soul. They care about other interests today. That's the reason so many churches have empty pews. They're not concerned. I'm as good as them people anyway. God loves me, if they even think about God or believe there's a God. We're all our brother's keepers because we're all of the same human family. We're all one family in this world. Can we see that today? Like I said a while ago in the Sunday school, when the Sunday school lesson was going on, I grew up in a time when one crowd went that way, and one crowd went that way, and another crowd went that way. Where in the world did people get that from? When we get to heaven, there's not going to be one group sitting over here and another sitting over there, folks. Sin has really made a mess in this world, hadn't it, folks? Caused a lot of bitterness and anger, pride. We're brothers and sisters in the same human family. And if we are born again, we're brothers and sisters in God's family. This is one of the reasons God hates pride so much. No one is any better than anybody else. Galatians 5:14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We're supposed to love other people. How do I love other people? I don't know. We're supposed to pray for other people. That's a form of showing love and concern. Pray for these people that's lost. I don't know who's in there, but I pray for them every day. I got some in there. But I don't know who all y'all have in there, but I pray for those that's in this salvation box. That's the way to show love. How we talk to people, how we treat people. Way to show love. Not trying to take advantage of people. James 2:8 says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. How do you want to be treated? I was sitting with Faye the other day at Hardee's, trying to eat a biscuit. You know, you can't hardly sit down in your car and eat a biscuit without somebody coming up wanting some money. I don't like to be cruel or treat anybody wrong. But these young guys that come along wanting money, my house just burnt down. Oh, I've heard that so many times. There wouldn't even be no houses left, folks. People that won't work, they're hooked on something, but they want you to support them. I just don't go that way. I just don't think I'm supposed to support that kind of lifestyle. The Bible teaches us to be wise. Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. I tell you what, this old boy had to work all his life. I've had to work all my life. I've worked third shift, second shift, first shift. I've worked all three in 24 hours and went home and cropped backer on top of it. I've worked. I believe these guys walking around wanting some of my money, they can work too. I work when you're sweated. I work when you didn't have no money. I don't mistreat people. But the Lord says in His Word, if you don't work, don't eat. And I didn't write that. David concludes by saying, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Think about a real father that looks at his children and he really loves his children. Or even a mother. But I'm using a father right now. I know how I looked at my little children. And how you feel towards them. And you magnify that, how God looking at us today. How God cares for us today. I remember that little girl over there. I had that old car. She standing inside of me in the seat with a little arm around me. 3 years old. 2 years old. I know how I felt. But I can't feel like God feels towards us, folks. God loves us. And we're supposed to love Him. And serve Him. Enjoy Him. Because He's going to take us home one day. To live with Him. You will understand how special you are to God. God put it in an order for you one day. You're unique. There's no one else like you. How precious is that? I had two children. They were not alike, I'll assure you. But they were special. They are special. Now that you know this, let's live for Him who loves us so much. Let's realize we're His children. We're to represent Him. We're to uphold His name. We're to be His people all the time. Trusting, loving, obeying, serving. Because He made us for that, folks.
He made us for that. In Timothy 1, 1 Timothy 2, 4, who would have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? God wants everybody to be saved. I read behind and I hear some of these preachers that's out there, they talk about election in the wrong way. Some people think that God made some people that can't be saved. I don't believe no such nonsense. Everybody can be saved if they'd accept Christ. He died for the sins of all the world. Second Peter 3:9. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish. Does that include everybody? Some people get so educated they don't know what they're talking about, folks. Even though we have sinned, he still loves us. Isn't that wonderful? And he provides for us our salvation. Even though we've sinned, he still blesses this old sin sick world. The sunshine and the rain and the food. God provides for this world that hates him, that has no time for him. And he's pouring out his love on them all the time, telling them, I care for you. I'm giving you these things because I love you. And they ignore him. They ignore him. Children, there's some children in here. Love your parents. Love your parents' children. They're special. They love you, children. I've got to be old, but I still love my mom. I still love my dad. God loves us. Praise God. Even though we've sinned, think about this. God's Son came through the incarnation and was conceived in a womb just like me and you, except he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, but he had to grow in a womb just like we did. He's just as human. Our Savior was just as human as us as far as being human. Yet I know he was the God-man, but he was human. He had to grow just like us. The purpose of his life was to pay for our sin. Our purpose is to love him, serve him, enjoy him. And one day we'll go live with him. Amen? Do you know the Lord today? You know what? You can't serve him too hard, nor too much. Let's keep living holy lives. Let's keep living godly lives. Let's keep walking humbly before men. Let's keep telling people Jesus loves them, wants to save them, wants them to be in a good Bible church. You here today and you don't know the Lord? Sometimes that can happen. Today's the day of salvation. The day you wandered away from the Lord, what in the world are you going to gain wandering away? There's a price when you wander away. Today is the day to come back and get right. Get, get in step with the Lord. Today, we invite you to the altar. Come talk to the Lord. Come and tell Him how wonderful He has blessed you, made you, the love He's given to you. Come pray for these people in this salvation box. Come pray for the people that's supposed to be here and they're not here for some reason. Maybe sickness or something. You know Brother Bill will be here if he was able. Something's up. Just cry out to the Lord from the depth of your soul. Ask God to bless us as a fellowship here for His name's sake. Not for our glory here, but for His honor and glory. Help us to be the kind of church He wants us to be. Remember the ministries we got going on here at the church. We're trying to focus towards people.